Liberalism and conservatism are two of Britain's most important political ideologies. Hi, I'm Alex Page, and welcome to The Hot Seat. Today with us to discuss the relationship between conservatism and liberalism in light of the recent government coalition is Professor Paul Kelly. Hi, Paul.
Nice to see you.
Since the election in May, the coalition government has run much smoother than many commentators would have imagined. Does this suggest a stronger affinity between liberalism and conservatism than was previously imagined?
There's clearly something very interesting going on between the two parties. If one thinks back to 2007, when Cameron was starting to make his pitch in the long run-up to the election, he announced that he saw himself as a liberal conservative. Now, that may mean that he was just positioning himself to attract conservative support and so on. But given the later coalition, it looks as though there's some kind of interesting convergence between the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party. Now, at the level of ideologies, what does that indicate? Well, I think you can see some affinities between Cameron's brand of conservatism, at least that which he's trying to impose on his party to bring it nearer to the centre ground, and what's being done by Clegg and what were called the Orange Book Liberals after the famous 2004 Orange Book, which saw a slight shift in the Liberal Party from being a social liberal, quasi-social democratic centre-left party to one that was much more centrist. So in a way, you had an indication of what might happen in the coalition long before the election, and some of that seems to have come together in the ease with which the two parties seem, at least until quite recently, to have slotted together in government.
So do you see this as an ideological shift in the Conservative and Liberal parties, or is this just political positioning by David Cameron and Nick Clegg?
Well, when one's looking at political parties and political leaders, positioning is always something, but you're looking at the terrain on which they do the positioning. Now, one way of seeing that is to say, well, liberalism is both the ideology of a party, but it's also, in some sense, the general sort of ideological terrain on which all parties position themselves. So if you think of what Blair did and New Labour did towards the end, they wanted to distance themselves from being the left liberal, so they were tough on civil liberties issues and so on. Cameron seems to have gone a little bit the other way. Right, so he's shifting towards the centrist position from a more traditionalist, conservative, strong state, but tough on crime, tough on immigration, you know, law and order, do as you're told, and also a kind of moral conservatism, you know, which is sort of traditionalist values and so on. That seems to have gone. Now, what I would say is what you see with those two parties is they're moving about on this liberal terrain. So in one sense, liberalism is the sort of backdrop, and then conservatism is a positioning on that liberal terrain, and what Cameron is trying to do is to say we're more to the centre bit, so we're more liberal conservatives than more right conservatives. And that sort of fits well with the ideology of conservatism, which is much more pragmatic. So it kind of accepts what's around, decides it has to conserve that, and is, you know, sort of builds its agenda around, you know, the policies that fit with the terrain that it's given. Now, you know, the last 50 years has seen significant liberalisation in British public life. I suspect that's what lots of Conservatives think they ought to conserve.
Recently, opposition leader Ed Miliband has called David Cameron a child of Thatcher. And once again, the streets of Westminster echo with the calls of Tory scum. Has the Conservative Party really changed?
Well, I mean, it's very easy to think of this as just a rerun of what happened in the 80s. And, obviously that provides us with a kind of discourse. I mean, Thatcher, in a way, didn't actually roll back the state that much. He did fairly iconic things like privatised national industries and so on. What the current government is doing is a lot more radical in the sense that although it's doing it as a response to a financial crisis and so on, it is threatening to shrink the state significantly. That seems to be the policy goal. Now, is that just Thatcherism sort of coming through under this nice liberal face of David Cameron? Possibly, But also, remember, that's what the Orange Book Liberals were concerned with. Their view was that the state had grown pretty much to the size it could be. Remember, this is 2004, so when we have the full effect of the cuts, we're going to have a shrinking of the state to what it was in 2008, which is somewhat bigger than it was in 2004. So arguably, you know, this is what they wanted. Much more targeting in terms of what the welfare state should do and withdrawing from things that it shouldn't do. So it's easy to think of this as, you know, this is the poll tax again, this is the red in tooth and claw conservatism. But actually it is the sort of Orange Book conservatism, if you like, that comes from the coalition's policies. And how it will turn out, of course, who knows? I mean, we see a lot of sort of uproar over the student tuition fees and so on, which is an interesting attack on the middle class, which is what the Orange Book Liberals were concerned with, you know, shifting benefits away from the ever benefit hungry middle classes. It's not obvious that this is Thatcherism. Thatcher was very cautious about protecting her middle class base. You know, she was quite happy to hit the poor and the areas that were dependent on, you know, old nationalised industries like coal and steel. She was very protective of things like, you know, universal benefits for the middle class, which is precisely what the current government are going for. So radical, certainly, and maybe tough in its radicalism. Not quite sure this is a sort of rerun of the early mid-80s.
All right, thank you, Paul. You're off the hot seat. And thank you, and see you next month for the next edition of The Hot Seat.